Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this.
The Empower Conference, for me, it birthed out of a couple of things. I'm always about how can I pour into somebody else. Curious people change the world. You can't let this leave and go back to your routine. Now you'd have to deal with this. I didn't even bring up the topic. I'm not going to bring it up now. I just said, I'm not going to talk about that. But what I am going to talk about is how we can love one another. You have to research what's already there in order to find, wait a minute, I don't see anything in this space, because there's something in you that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Does failure is knowledge mean to you?
Failure is knowledge is taking the things that didn't go right and learning from them to make them go well.
Eddie, again, I do appreciate you for coming on to the Failure's Knowledge podcast. I want to start the conversation with this question. Why Empower Conference?
Oh, man. Listen, number one, thanks for having me on, man. I'm fired up about this conference. The Empower Conference, for me, it birthed out of a couple of things. I'll tell you a quick backstory on how I got the word empower, right? Because, you know, kind of being in this space of inspiring others, motivating other people, even being coined the motivator, right? I'm always about how can I pour into somebody else and use my life as a living letter to them to say, hey, look, I'm open, but here's how I'm expressing myself in a way publicly, so that you might see yourself in my story and say, you know what? I've got my own story and I can relate to what he's saying. And so because of that and how he processed, how he questioned himself, how he pushed himself, I know I can make it through my situation. That's my whole messaging, is how can I use my life as a living letter and be fully exhausted of giving myself to others, so that they can find hope in their own lives, their own challenges, their own things that they're trying to navigate. So here's how Empower came about. I haven't told this story before, so this is fresh bread right out of grandma's oven here. So I was at the house one morning, and my older daughter came in and put my youngest daughter's hoodie on the ironing board. You know how we are in the Marine Corps about ironing, right? So I grab her stuff. Ironing is therapeutic for me in a sense, right? So I go through and I'm ironing the back of her hoodie. When I flip it over and I'm ironing one of the sleeves, I see the letters at the top shoulder part says EM. And I'm like, and her name is L. So I'm like, okay, hey, my initials are EM. Her initials are EM. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, went out and got her a hoodie with her initials on it. So then I flip it over and start ironing the other sleeve, and it says ED. And I'm like, wait a minute, ED, that's my name. Hold on now. What in the world does this shirt say? So I held it up and it said empowered going across the top, because across the middle was power. And I looked at it and I said, I'm using that. I don't know how I'm going to use it, but I'm using that some kind of way. within my branding. And so I went to my oldest daughter and I said, hey, did you see Elle's hoodie? Did you see what it said on it? I said, I'm using that. And so she started laughing. She went and told her mom and told her, says, I told you daddy was going to do that. I told you as soon as I saw it. So I had to figure out, how can I apply empower or empowered into my brand, my personal brand, which I'll talk about that in a second and how I came about with that. So empower came about with, all right, I got to figure out how I'm going to apply this. As I came, that was like fall of last year. That was like late fall, like actually in the winter time, like December time period. As I came into the new year, I was setting my goals for 2025. I participated, one of our speakers, Dr. John Betterson, good friend of mine. I met him while he worked at NASA. I was working at Cleveland Airport. We were both in Toastmasters. So he and I met through Toastmasters. He's going to be a speaker at the Empower Conference. However, he had invited me to this leadership symposium that he was hosting back in January. When I saw the layout of it, I said, then I'm like, I could do this. You know, I can do something like this, something small, quaint, you know, very close knit, you know, with folks, and let it take off. You know, if it blossoms into something like a 10X conference or a TEDx or a Tony Robbins, Eric Thomas type format, then let it take a life of its own. But I can start right here and plant this type of seed. So this is, how can I set up this cozy type approach? So in January, I started this journey of developing the conference. I didn't know what I wanted to call it at the time. And then I remembered the hoodie and I said, that's it, empower. The whole focus is not only this. Now, this is twofold, right? And so again, this is my first time sharing this piece because behind the scenes, behind the lab right in here, nobody knows like my thought process behind the Empower Conference. The Empower Conference was birthed with the mindset of, I want to, as a public speaker, I've been in the game for like 30 years, you know, on a small scale, but been traveling the country, been on international platforms and stuff like that in my career industry, my career field. But I'm all about inspiring people, whether it's, you know, in the career field or just in life. And so the Empower Conference is built on two premises. Number one, I want to bring other speakers because I know I can bring it and I can have a full day and I'll hold the day down by myself. But it's not just about me. How can I pay it forward to other speakers that also have a story, that also have this desire, that are also phenomenal and incredible speakers and know how to put that story together and have some information to impart on others? So that's number one. I want to pay it forward and create not a platform, but a launch pad for other speakers, right, that have a story to tell, like yourself, like Dr. Betterson, and the others that are going to be coming to the Empower Conference on October 11th at Corporate College. The second one are the attendees. How can our story as a collective take, number one, our network, blend it together, because you have a reach of people that I'm not connected to, right? And I probably couldn't connect to. Same thing for me with you. So if I can take my followership and they're going to come because of me, and then you bring your followership and they're going to come because of you. Now our two followerships network with one another, and now they get, your network gets introduced to me, my network gets introduced to you. Now we have this combined massive place of like minds, people who are hungry and people who are ready to cook, right? So if we have that combination of people together, all of us are getting our healing. All of us are gaining extra knowledge. All of us are connecting the multitude of voices. That is a huge piece for me. And that's the twofold mindset behind the scenes of what the purpose of Empower is. Connecting a multitude of voices of people who want to cook and people who want to eat, and bringing those forces together in one place, that is what's going to make this thing really take off. And my hope is, you know, coming from an inaugural conference like this, something nice and quaint, that this thing can take off and become a life form of its own. And the Empower Conference, my goal, when I first kind of came out with this thing, I said, I want to take this thing on tour. I want to do a multi-city tour. That's what I told one of my other daughters. I got eight kids, by the way. I told my 26-year-old, now 27-year-old daughter, I told her, I said, I want to go on tour. I want to go on tour. I want to go on a speaking tour, and I'm just going to do it myself. And I would love for you to help me along the journey. And so she helped me that first several months with getting things together, kind of bouncing ideas and all this kind of stuff, because she shares in a lot of that same passion in her own space. And so I said, you know what? Kind of went through a couple of quiet months, had some other things going on, and I revisited this around June. And I said, you know what? I got to get back to putting this thing together. I knew that I needed to hire an event planner. So I hired Epic Conferences and Events as my event planner. And they've been doing a great job helping me put everything together and think through things that I would not have even thought of. They've taken a lot of the bandwidth off of me. The CEO, Deanna Wilkins, she constantly tells me, sir, just focus on the content. We got your back. Just focus on the content. We got the rest, because I'm trying to make sure everything goes off well, right? And, the conference itself, I just said, okay, where would I start this at? Where would I start this tour? I'm born and raised from Cleveland. I live in Tennessee now, but I'm born and raised in Cleveland. I left about 6-7 years ago, just chasing my career aspirations and stuff. And I said, I got to start back home, and then go from there. And maybe this year I'll just do just Cleveland, kind of do my lessons learned. And then from there, pick out 5 or 6 cities next year for 2026. And that's the goal. That's the goal right now. And, I'm already looking at 2026 as 2025 is kind of preparing itself here in a few weeks. And so that's the whole background behind why Empower. I want to put a launch pad out there for other speakers. And I want to fill the room with hungry people, with hungry mindsets that want more out of their own life. And I want to bring the speakers in there that have a message that stretches far beyond what I can say. And then we all come together with our different perspectives, and we pour into the people that's sitting in that room and the people that'll be on Zoom, and we feed them. We feed them with this knowledge. We feed them with this hunger and light their souls on fire so that they can just go out there and set the world ablaze and the world around them.
As I was doing research, I think in your bio or a post that you posted a while ago, it says something about a strategist. It says something about a CRO. To be honest, I didn't know what a CRO was until I read the post.
Yeah.
I can understand why you're a strategist now. I can understand why you are thinking ahead and where the thought process came behind the Empower Conference, because we can inspire by so many things that's around us.
Yeah.
I'll say that it's not what's around you that matters. It's what you pay attention to that matters.
Yeah.
And you made me thinking about it. I was like, wait, that's kind of like how I came up with Failures Knowledge Podcast. And it was the fact that by any means was taken. I'm like, dang, that was a good one. I was heartbroken. But it's the fact that I didn't let this one dilemma stop me from learning what the brand can become. It shows your resilience. It shows your belief within yourself. And then for you to see it on a sweater. On a sweater, out of all things that your daughter had, that's not planned. That's you. It, by you being a good strategist, you can plan it. You cannot even have planned that.
No, not at all. Not at all. Like I mean, that seed being planted of how that's the, I love the question that you put at the very front, like why, right? And like you said, there's so many things that's around us. And I truly believe in that old saying that curious people change the world. I love asking questions. How did this get here? Why is this like this? What are we doing? Like, what's next? And that's a key thing that we got to constantly ask ourselves is what is next? What is the next thing that I can achieve? What's the next thing that I can accomplish? Because the day we stop learning, the day we lose our curiosity, that's the day we stop growing. You know what I mean? And so it's about those breadcrumbs. And you know, I'll geek out a little bit on neuroscience because my master's degree is in cognitive and behavioral neuroscience as a business psychologist. And so, in our prefrontal cortex, right, we look at the brain in three sections, right? You got your front brain, midbrain, and the hind brain. I'll just put it in those three spaces. And the front of our brain is where our prefrontal cortex is, and it is constantly seeking new knowledge, right? New information. And when I first learned about this back in 2017, about the prefrontal cortex and its role in our mind, it's got many roles, but that one key role is it is constantly seeking to grow and learn and process new information, not the old stuff, the new information. Our hindbrain, or our third brain, is where all of the lived experiences reside, right? And so we draw from memory back here. In the middle is our emotional brain. That's our fight or flight. Am I loved? Am I valued? Am I appreciated? But this one is like, what's next for me to learn? How can I grow? What my curiosities reside right here. And what's been discovered through studies is that the more we can keep new information in front of us, the more active our prefrontal cortex brain cells remain, right? And the less we do, the less we start learning. Those cells, they don't die, they become dormant. And then next thing you know, it's like there's no lights firing off for our neurons because now we're just not thinking. You know, and some people say, well, that's some of the dangers with AI and stuff like that. I love using AI because AI, I think for me, I think it depends on how you use it. If you use it as a dependency, that's one thing. But if you use it to expand your curiosities, that is what helps expand your creativity. It expands your innovation. And now you're in this space where you're just firing on all cylinders because your brain is just constantly hungry for new information. So the way I look at this is, like you said, when there's things that we pay attention to, when we pay attention to the things that's around us and we stay curious about it, so it mix the attention with curiosity. Oh my God, it's limitless ideas that can be birthed as a result of you doing two simple things, paying attention and asking questions. That's it. What is that? How did that become like that? I wonder what was the cause behind that? And start asking questions and remain curious about those things. Your brain is incredible. Our minds are absolutely incredible. One of the taglines for my brand, my personal brand, is the EM3 experience. And within the EM3 experience, I had a colleague actually introduce that to me one day. The CRO stands for Chief Risk Officer. That's the field I'm in, is in risk management. And I was actually interviewing with Mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago to be the Chief Risk Officer for the city of Chicago back around 2020, 2021, I think it was. And I had a short stint there until the wheels fell off the bus because she wanted me to change some things about my personal brand. Like, didn't want me to have a business and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, Mayor, that's a deal breaker. You know, I've had my business for years. I'm not going to disband my business to work here. So that kind of became the end of that journey. But in my conversations with my colleagues, I had one of my colleagues say, "Hey, did you interview with Mayor Lightfoot yet?" And I'm like, "Yeah, meeting with her today at 9 o'clock." And he said, "You're gonna put that EM3 experience on her?" And I bust out laughing. I said, "You know what? I like that. I'm gonna find a way to use that. Yeah, I am going to put that EM3 experience on her." So I went on this journey in 2021 asking myself, again, staying curious, what is the EM3 experience? What does that mean? When people experience me, EM3, what does that mean for them? Not for me, but what does it mean for them? Just like you see Coca-Cola, you see Amazon, you see that smiley face for the Amazon box. You know, what does that brand logo mean for you when you see that? You know, when you hear or see the golden arches for McDonald's, or you see the king for Burger King, what does that mean for you? You know, you see Wendy's red hair with the ponytails. What does that brand and that logo signify for you? So when people hear the EM3 experience, what does that mean? What are they getting, right, as a product or a service from me? And I wanted it to mean something. And what it's become as a I challenge the mindset. So the slogan for the EM3 experience is rewired mindset. I'm all about unplugging the way you commonly think, and I'm going to introduce new thoughts. I'm going to introduce new thoughts that already live within inside of you by asking you questions. That's it. So I want to rewire your mind from within, not from without, right? And if I can start to ask, hey, have you considered this? What's your thoughts about XYZ? Hey, you know what? I see exactly where you're coming from. Let me wedge something in real quick right where you are, and I'll introduce a new thought and let them deal with it, right? Because I don't have to try to convince you or try to change your thinking. I just need to disrupt it, because our mind is on a it's like on a conveyor belt, right? All that lived experience has a conveyor belt of thoughts, and that's our self-talk going through, right? So if I can jump in somewhere and throw a new thought on that conveyor belt that's totally different from the way you're just used to just constantly thinking and day by day and routine by routine, if I can disrupt that just one time with something that just makes you say, I hadn't thought about that. Now your curiosities start to go wild. And if I can introduce a second thought, now it's like, okay, you can't let this leave and go back to your routine. Now you'd have to deal with this. So for me, being a disruptor of people's thinking, I don't just want to disrupt and cause chaos. I want to disrupt and rewire, because now I don't have to plug and play new thoughts. You're going to do that all by yourself. And you're going to do that because you know your own story. You have your own lived experiences. I don't know how to apply it for you, but I know how to ask the right questions. So if I can facilitate a dialogue by introducing new thoughts, new questions, new curiosities into your mind by planting certain seeds, once I walk away, that's for you to deal with it. And whatever you do with it is what you do with it. But my goal is either to plant the seed or to water seeds that were already planted. And then I step away because I've done my job, right? And so that's the way I really look at this, is like, how can I now disrupt folks' thinking and disrupt their mindset by giving them fresh material, by giving them fresh content? And the best way for me to do that, I can't just come up and just create all this stuff. I got to do exactly what you just said. I got to pay attention, and then I got to add in my curiosity, right? And by doing that in my own life and then turning around and telling a story, you see your own self in my story. You don't feel good about me. You start feeling good about you. Like, man, I need to use that because I'm dealing with this. And my mission's accomplished from that point on. That's what the EM3 experience is. So now, when people follow my social media platforms, we've had some hot topics come up, right? In recent societal things. And I just put a post out. I didn't even bring up the topic. I'm not going to bring it up now. I just said, I'm not going to talk about that, but what I am going to talk about is how we can love one another. And that's all the post said. And the engagement just took off by itself, because I disrupted the news feed for everybody that's following me. So everybody that saw scrolling down their news feed, and they're seeing all the same content, same negativity, same frustrations, same battles, this versus that, that versus this. And then all of a sudden they come across this, spread love, spread kindness. Here's a smiley face. It's like, oh, where'd that come from? Because they're being programmed into following all of this negativity, being forced into seeing and feeding off of this frenzy of what's bad. We want your perspective. Hey, this person did XYZ. What do you say? I see so many posts like that, just to enter in this debate type conversation. And I say, I think we should all love one another. What do you say? I'm disrupting that. So I just believe in taking a totally different approach to how my social media platform issues out information. I don't want to do the mainstream topics, because you can find that anywhere. When you come to my page, I want you to find something different than what the mainstream is spinning. And that's the EM3 experience. I've had so many people reach out to me and say, I can count on you that when I come to your page or when I'm scrolling my feed and I see something from you, I'm going to feel inspired. I'm going to feel that there's still hope that's out there. And I'm like, mission accomplished.
And it's working. And it's working. Yeah. And I want to share something with you because you said three things I want to bring up. So originally, I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay.
And when I went to the Marine Corps and start seeing different things and start to open my mind just a little bit more, I always say, if you stop learning, you stop growing. I'm in my second marriage, and me and my wife now, whenever somebody asks, like, how are you and your wife doing? Like, how are you and your wife doing? I always say, we are doing good. We are learning each other every single day.
Yes.
And if we stop learning each other every single day, then that's where our relationship is going to go to the left, to the right, and so on and so forth.
That's right.
And the third thing I want to mention, so you said something about disrupting people, the way people think. I wrote a book, and guess what the name of the title is?
Or, say something with disruption.
Yes, kind of, sort of. So it's Master Your Mind. Y'all know you can't probably see it, but
yeah, I got you.
Master Your Mind, 10 Tips to Shift Your Mindset.
Oh.
And as you was talking about that, inside of my book.
I hope you're going to put that on display at the conference because people need to get that.
Yes, 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 I am. Yes, sir. As you were speaking and you were just talking about curiosity, like people have to remain curious.
Yes.
Every chapter, at the end of it, there are questions to answer. Then you have like a look. I hate you can't see it.
I can see that there's some words there, though, but I can see that
there's
a question.
Some words, but it's just lines right here.
For you to fill it in. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. And when you said that, I was like, oh, that's crazy. I see my future. I see my future in you, Eddie. I'm 26 years old, and I wanted to ask
what?
You. I'm 26.
Love it, man. I'm 54. I'm 54.
Okay, okay, okay.
I got a 26-year-old, so I feel you. I feel you.
Yep.
Hey, listen, check this out, man. So, God, man, this is exciting. This is exciting. So there's a book. I don't know if you've read it or not. You probably heard of it because it's been around since the 30s, called Think and Grow Rich.
Yep.
In the Think and Grow Rich, there's a section in there that talks about the principle of auto-suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the book at home. I wish I was at home right now because I pulled the book out because I got this one section just tabbed off. I got three versions of this book. I've got the original version that's in like this hardback with gold pages and all this kind of stuff. So I keep that one sealed and sitting on my thing. It's like an heirloom. But then I got two other versions. One was the original version that I purchased back in the early 90s. I think it was like 91, 92. When I was in the Marine Corps, and I wrote a lot of notes in that one as I was reading it. My other one is just like a clean copy of that same version, but it's just a clean copy that I just use as a reference to go back to. There's a section in there, and it talks about how thoughts are things, okay? And what I'll paraphrase it, and what it talks about is Napoleon Hill is saying that thoughts magnetize to like thoughts. And when they magnetize to one another, they gravitate to each other. I took that and I said, well, wait a minute. If the thoughts release into the atmosphere and they find a host of like thoughts and they magnetize to one another, where did those thoughts come from? Because the thoughts are not just suspended in air, magnetized to one another. The thoughts come from minds. And so that means, and I'm interpreting that as to mean my thoughts that are here generating energy out is going to magnetize itself to other people with like minds whose thoughts are generating energy. And now those two energy forces in their thoughts, they end up magnetizing to one another. And so we talk about the law of attraction, right? And in the science world, the physical science world, the law of attraction is considered a pseudoscience because they try to say, oh, well, there's no, you know, scientific evidence to support it. So therefore it falls into this pseudoscience space. However, it also can't be refuted. So there's no way to say like, okay, well, we can't say it doesn't exist because there's evidence that something is happening in this metaphysics space. So now it's moved over into this metaphysics space when it comes to the law of attraction, because now it's in a space of dealing with, there's some physical components to it, but then there's some other, I don't want to call it supernatural, but supernatural things happening, right? So let's take this draw. And it's not just you and I, but there's one other person too. You from somewhere saw my post about looking for speakers. You responded to it. Now here we are having a conversation with one another and finding out and discovering through dialogue that our thoughts are similar. Our thoughts, according to Napoleon Hill's philosophy and Think and Grow Rich, our thoughts had already been magnetized, because it also talks about those thoughts being magnetized until its physical hosts come together. And that's the other piece. So it's physical hosts of those thoughts. You and I are those hosts of our own thinking, right? And it's got to come a time when we keep releasing these thoughts into the atmosphere, and that energy and those vibrations are there. No different than, a dolphin, sends out that vibration wave throughout the water, right? And it attracts other dolphins in the area to come that way, right? Same thing with other underwater creatures. They hear from those wave and the sound vibrations through the water. It's the same if you put a pebble and toss it into the water, what does it do? It creates a ripple effect. That's a wave, right? If we listen to music through our ears, that's a wave of sound. I'm sorry, of sight. If we, I'm sorry, sound. So if we look and we see the stars, they say some of these stars burned out billions of years ago, but we still see the lights coming from it because the wave is still coming so that we can visually see something. We visually see one another because we can see that wave, right? Touch is a contact of energy transferring back and forth to one another. So when we think about this from a metaphysics standpoint, we think about this from a neuroscience standpoint, and we think about this whether it's a pseudoscience or a physical science, it all makes sense. Whether we think about this, how do we, let me ask you this question. How do we receive information into our mind?
How do we receive information to our mind? Well, for me, I have to hear it over like multiple different times. If I hear something once, what I started to learn that I do is that when I hear it once, I write it down. But now I'm hearing it and I'm seeing it, and I'm listening to what the person is speaking about. So with me, the way I learn, I hear it, write it down, but I have to keep looking at it, keep
Okay.
repeat process.
I'm about to put you through a test right in front of all your learners
Okay.
that's here. I'm gonna say a word. Tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. First few things that come to your mind.
Okay.
Skunk.
Stink.
Okay.
They stink.
Okay. Now, a hammer.
A hammer, use it to hammer nails on the wall or put pictures up.
Okay. A dog.
They bark, they smell, they
Okay.
loud.
Okay. Now, I want you to keep in mind. Now, I want you to look around your room.
Okay.
All right. All right. Do you have a skunk in your room?
No.
Do you have a hammer in your room?
I think I over there somewhere.
Okay. Do you have a dog in your room?
No.
All right. Just simply based off the fact that I mentioned the word to you, your other senses kicked in. You could have described what a skunk looked like. You knew what it smelled like, right? You know what a hammer does. You know the sound that it makes when it strikes something. You know the feeling of it. You know the scent of a dog. You know the sound of a dog. You know the appearance of a dog. How do you know these things? Because at some point, you've had your five senses engage in some capacity those three items. So our brain takes in information through our five senses. Those are the things that feed information into us. Now, some people believe in a sixth sense, which I'll just put that in the spiritual space, that others believe that there's a sixth sense where you just kind of get this vibe or this energy, or, you know, you walk in a room and somebody else walks in a room and it's just like, oh man, I don't like their vibe, you know, or something don't feel right in here. So there's that sixth sense piece that we believe that exists as well. If we're taking in information, I'm about to hit you with something real quick. If we're taking in information from our five senses or potentially a sixth sense, then everything that we think about, talk about, believe is based off of a past experience. We see a car and we say, man, I like that car. That car could be, let's say if it's a 2026 Cadillac Escalade, them things are beefy, look incredible, right? The 2026 Cadillac Escalade has been developed for like 2 years. So when we see it and we say, ooh, that joker beefy, that thing clean, that grill, look at the grill on the front of that. Oh man, the headlights, the way they, right? We're admiring and now seeing a concept that was a thought process of a designer from like multiple years prior. We're just now seeing the physical manifestation of it. And so now we're chasing after something that's already 2 years old in concept. Mm-hmm. We see a house. We say, man, that house is beautiful. I'd love to live in something like that. That house got built 15 years ago. The construction started 2 years prior to that. The design started a year before that. So the house that you're looking at, that you're admiring and desiring to live in, something similar to that, was actually a concept in someone's mind almost 20 years prior on a 15-year-old house. So if everything that we're doing around us is reactionary to our past and experiences of others' past, then what we're doing is we're actually trying to chase after something that is not something new. It's not something forward thinking. It's all based off of the past. Mm-hmm. So at what point, when we're receiving these resources of information through our five senses and then incorporate a sixth sense, if we're focused on all of this lived experience through our own mind and through others' folks' ideas in their own mind, then at what point are we thinking about something fresh? At what point are we thinking about something new? And we talk about, oh, I want to create. But if our creativity is all based off of historical things, then what we're creating is not fresh and new. It's something that was pre-existing that we already took in, and now we had a concept. The Empower Conference is not new. The Empower Conference is a concept that's been laid out over multiple platforms by others that now it's going to be centralized into its own platform. But it is literally a duplication of efforts to create another venue for people to be able to come and be inspired and be fulfilled. So if we really, really thinking about something, we talk about, hey, I got a new idea, I got this fresh thing, I got this fresh. Is it really? Like what are we doing to challenge ourselves to really go out and say, this is new. I see this out here. So my doctorate degree is in organizational leadership. And the challenge that I have as a researcher was to go out and find all of this content that's out there. But you know the whole premise behind getting your doctorate degree and actually doing research?
I do not.
In research, you're actually looking for what's missing. Mm. You're not looking for what's already there. You have to research what's already there in order to find, wait a minute, I don't see anything in this space. So mine focuses on decision making. There's a whole bunch of research out there about decision making. But is there stuff about decision making specifically in airports? Yeah, there is. Most of it is dealing with the pilots. Okay, but what about the airport management? Okay, there's a couple of things out there about collaborative decision-making, but collaborative decision-making includes planning, operations, FAA, and the airlines. Okay, but is there anything for the executives? I don't see anything for the executives out here. So I don't want just any decision either. What about when they face uncertainty, like growth and expansion, aging infrastructure, COVID. What's their thought process during the periods of uncertainty? That's what I want to research because I don't see anything out here. I've looked at all of this stuff and I don't see anything out here historically that talks specifically about this. So now I want to go out and I want to find some people that can give me some information and tell me what they're thinking during periods of uncertainty and how they come to their decision making. That's what research is about. That's what inspiring other people is about. When I mentioned about disrupting thoughts, you know, Les Brown says this all the time. We have greatness within us. You have greatness within you. You do. When you think about the greatness that's within you, even though you're doing a great work already, you really, really are. I mean, you got a book, you got a podcast, you served in can't say in the military, you served in the Marine Corps. It's the difference, right? And so it for you're already out here doing the work. So now the challenge becomes, how can you find a space that you've done all this research? There's other people out there got podcasts. There's other people out there got books. But what makes you specifically unique? Because there's something in you that doesn't exist anywhere else. And for me, as a coach, as an inspirer, as an empowerment leader, it's my responsibility to ask the right questions. Because there's something in you that I gotta flush out so that the world can be benefited by the greatness that's already within you. Even though you're already doing great work. But as the scriptures say, greater works shall you do. Yeah, you see all of this stuff that's out there, right? But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and greater work shall you do. So within you, there is greatness. I got to move all this other stuff out the way that you're doing and say, have you thought about, have you considered, what's your thoughts on this? And now you say, oh my God, boom, the light bulb comes on. There's nobody else out there doing that, right? A lot of these speakers out here that come in, Eric Thomas got his own style. Tony Robbins got his own style. Les Brown's got his own style. Well, Eddie Mack has to have his own style when I come in and deliver, right? I gotta have my own way of bringing my information. I can hoop, holler, and yell till the veins are coming all out my face and neck, just like Eric Thomas. I could come in blazing with a really nice tailored suit, with dark suit, with the red tie, with the white shirt, grow my beard out and everything, and come in, you know, with the stories just like Les Brown. I can come in here with ridiculous amounts of knowledge with the baseball cap, polo shirt on, and I'm just spitting game, just like my 6'5" counterpart over here, Tony Robbins, that's been out there in the game for 40 years. Or I can just come and just be me. And I can just deliver the EM3 experience the best way I know how through my lived experiences, because Tony Robbins and Les Brown and Eric Thomas, they've been through what they've been through, but they haven't been through what I've been through. And only I can tell my story. Only you can tell your story. That story was given to you. That book, the content was given to you to deliver, not to anybody else. So how do we bring that out of you and put that there so that it now becomes this lasting legacy of information and can become this sustainable content that passes through the times? Think and Grow Rich is almost 100 years old. It's like 95 years. I think the first manuscript was 1932. It's 2025. So that book is about to hit 100 years in a few years. And it is still, to this day, one of the top influential books of our time and before our time and after our time. So what can you say that has that level of influence that even when you're gone, that book is still being your legacy, your story, a greatness that's within you that only you can tell. So when I think about all of these things and how we receive information, I don't want to just go historical and only go off my lived experience, but how can I take my lived experience and create something new? Something that I don't see any stories, I don't see anybody talking about it. So let's talk about it. Let me ask questions to people so I can flush out and get the evidence to say, they're not thinking about this. Oh, when I did my interviews for my, you know, my dissertation stuff, when I was talking to these leaders, I stunned some of them with some of my questions. Oh, man, that's a great question. I hadn't thought about that. Perfect. Because that tells me nobody's ever asked you that. Because now I'm in a space of the unknown. This is a brand new thing now. This is something new. This is something different. And that's what I get excited about, right? And if our minds are not getting excited about the curiosity, then we need to check our pulse. That's what I'm gonna say.
That's powerful. That's powerful. We are over our time, but before we end, for the Empower Conference, for somebody that's interested in coming and learning more about it. Oh, I forgot to mention, Charmaine Rose put me in contact with you. She sent me a flyer.
Oh, okay. All right. Good deal. Yeah. She's been liking my posts. I appreciate her.
Yes. So for the Empower Conference, how can people learn more about it? How can they attend? How can they follow you in the EM3?
EM3.
My apologies. EM3. How can they learn more about it?
You can, number one, for me, you can hashtag the EM3 experience. You start right there. So that's number one, the EM3 experience, hashtag that, you'll find my content. I don't think anybody else out there, I haven't seen anybody else out there. I've put out a lot of positive posts and stuff like that. And so if you hashtag rewired mindset, hashtag the EM3 experience, you'll find my content. This is a new hashtag, so it hasn't really kind of sifted up there, but if you hashtag Empower CLE 25, okay, hashtag Empower CLE 25, you'll come across the content to be able to register. I'm working on getting a website built because I had no idea it was going to take off like it has. So I'm working on getting the website built and everything like that too. But you can get in contact with me. You can follow me on LinkedIn as well. Just look my name up. Edward K. McDonald III, officially, you'll find my content out there. Eddie Mack on Facebook and Instagram. I'm on Instagram at I_M_EM3. So I_EM3. You'll find me there on Instagram as well. So you'll see some posts and content out there. Promoting the page. If anybody out there wants to be a sponsor, still seeking sponsors through next week. We got our speakers lined up. I actually just found a six speakers coming, seven counting myself, but I just found somebody submitted their stuff to me, but it went into my spam. I just saw it right before I logged on. So we'll have eight dynamic speakers. We got a DJ Chevy Red right there from Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm trying to, for those of you that are in the physical fitness and wellness, we've got Philly Whedon of Cleveland. I'm trying to get him. He keeps saying like, yeah, I'm coming. But he needs to confirm for me. So Philly, if you're checking this out as well, you know, hit me up, man. So, so that's the ways to get in contact with me on Facebook, Eddie Mack, Instagram, Eddie Mack, with the handle of I_EM3. Hashtag rewire mindset, hashtag empower CLE 25.
That's powerful. So I'm gonna make sure I put that in the comments in the description so that way people can follow you. They can have your hashtags. In addition to that, they can learn more about the EM3 experience so that way they go and attend the Empower Conference. So Eddie, this has been great. I'm about to start recording right now. Recording again. Eddie, again, I do appreciate you for coming on the Phase Knowledge Podcast. What was your biggest takeaway from being on the Phase Knowledge Podcast?
Number one is the energy, man. You got a great energy about you. I love the platform. I love what you're doing and the work that you're doing. And I love the concept of failure to knowledge, because we literally have to learn from our mistakes. And if you think about a person who works out, right? A person who works out, they literally fail to strength, right? You push yourself to your max until you can't do anymore. And then you come back and now you can go a little bit further. So we fail our way to success. So I love this failure to knowledge concept that you have on this platform and the energy and the thought process behind it, because that is literally life. we know that there's, you know, the beauties of life are the mountains and the valleys. The signs of life on an EKG is up and down. So we know for a fact that a battery has two terminals, a positive and a negative. So there's got to be give and take in order for there to ignite life, you know, for us. So your platform is doing exactly that, from failure to knowledge, the positive to the negative, or the negative to the positive. And how do you now take that and flip it? And I think you said it during the podcast too, and I really love this concept too, is that everything that's around us is a story to tell. Everything around us is something for us to be impacted by if we just do exactly what you said, and that's pay attention.
That's powerful. For failure is knowledge. For someone that's coming up, that's nervous to come onto the podcast, what is one piece of advice that you can give them?
Tell your story. Own it. Because at the end of the day, nobody knows your story like you. You lived it. So folks that's coming on this podcast, there's nothing to be concerned about. There's nothing to be afraid of. And at the same time, even if fear does exist for you to come on here, right? You got two things to help you move forward. Some people move forward in what's called bravery, and bravery is the absence of fear. And so you're taking actions with the absence of fear. Then other people are moving forward in courage. And courage is moving despite the presence of fear, right? So either way, you're taking action. You're either going to jump in front of that bullet like a Secret Service agent will, without thought of anything else, right? Without regard of life. I got to save the president. Ah, you dive in, right? There's no presence of fear. Or you might be standing on the edge of a plane getting ready to jump out, and you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this or not. I don't know if I can do this or not. And all it takes is one step. And then once you jump out, you'll realize, if you take a quick peek behind you, you see the aircraft taking off and moving on without you. And now you're suspended in air, and that space between where you are and where the plane is, that space is where your fear existed. And what you realize is all of that was just a fallacy. It was just an imagination. It didn't really exist. And so when we start recognizing that our fear is not a reality for us, it is an imaginary space between where we are and our greatness. Because once you jump into your greatness and start telling your story on this podcast, you'll look behind you and say, what was I afraid of? So move in courage if you're afraid to come on. Step out courageously.
And last question, you kind of answered it in your second response. Yeah. But what does failure is knowledge mean to you?
Failure is knowledge is taking the things that didn't go right and learning from them to make them go well. Recognizing that I'm either going to fail because I'm pushing, or I'm going to fail because I'm trying. And either way, there's something to learn from there. There's some knowledge to gain from that. So the event of actually failing, like your podcast says, it is knowledge. It doesn't have to become knowledge. It already is. So that is literally what this is all about. That's life. You know, you're taking exactly where you are and saying, okay, I'm gonna jump and I'll build my wings on the way down. And I hope I figure this thing out. If I hit the ground while I'm trying, I got further than everybody else who didn't even try. Right?
That is true. Eddie, man, I appreciate it. I'm gonna stop recording again.